are back. After a long hiatus, the Portuguese Language Division of the American Translators Association is happy to bring to you a new episode of PLD Shop Talk. I am Erica Lessa, and on today's episode, you're going to listen to the talk I had with Paula Iannelli, translator, interpreter, and member of the board of directors of ABRETIS, the Brazilian Association of Translators and Interpreters. This episode was recorded in San Francisco right after the ATA conference. I have to confess that my voice was totally gone. I was pretty hoarse, and I apologize. So the thing is that I couldn't miss the chance to talk to Paula in person. So I hope you guys can bear with me. I hope you like it. And happy 2017. I'm very happy and pleased to have Paula Iannelli with me here today. And I have a couple of questions to ask her. But right now, what I'm going to do is actually ask her for some highlights. So thank you very much, Paula, for being here. And if you could, please tell me some of your highlights of the conference.
Hi, Erica. Thank you for having me. I was really pleased to be invited for this podcast.
I'm so sad. She has such a beautiful voice, and I have this. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, come on. It's just after the conference. Everybody has a coarse voice by now. And yes, it was a great conference. It was my third. I've been to Chicago and Miami before. And I love get-togethers. I love networking. I love conferences. So what I think is interesting is that this is very good both for beginners and seasoned professionals. You know, we have a lot of different sessions at the same time that are a lot of topics to be chosen. And we meet so many people. And we meet people who are interested on the same things we are. So that's what's great about it.
All right. Good. So let's get started. I invited you for a reason.
Okay.
But we're going to get there eventually. Right now, I'll start by asking you. So I know you work just like me and many of our colleagues. We work in different areas, in different areas related to translation and interpretation. So which of the areas you work so that our listeners can know it, and which one is your favorite?
Yes, I do wear a lot of hats in this industry.
You do?
Yeah, so I've been working a lot with translation, interpretation, and also now I'm part of the board of directors of our Brazilian Association of Translators and Interpreters.
Yay!
And it's interesting, I love all of these roles. You know, they each have different challenges for me as a professional. So when I'm translating, it's about attention to detail. I get the opportunity of, you know, refining my writing and choosing the perfect word and doing everything the way I want to do. And I'm at my home office and I'm, you know, enjoying other perks of being a translator. However, when I'm in the booth, I don't know, maybe that's my favorite.
It's
maybe
pure
the
love.
Booth. Yeah, it's pure love. And it's adrenaline. You know, I love how dynamic it is, how challenging it is. We need to find solutions, and we need to do it at a split second. And I love that. I love it about it. But I also love what I do at the administration of our association. I've always been involved with this kind of thing. You know, even when I was in college, we did have a group, a center run by students to represent students. And I was there. I was part of it. Mm-hmm. It's always been part of what I love. So I would say that I prefer interpreting because I think it's more challenging. But all of them have their perks. You know, at the association, I'm thinking about long term. I'm thinking about developing the profession, helping our colleagues, doing something that is going to improve our market overall. And I think that's beautiful. I
think it is, and it's going to last long.
Yeah, and you do work for PLD, for the Portuguese Language Division, so you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good kind of volunteering, actually, volunteering some of our time to see something happening in order to improve the market, at least. But in terms of translation, what do you usually translate?
Oh, yeah. I do in written translation, I usually work with marketing, corporate communication, and game localization.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that's a huge one. And that was a dream come true. You know, I've been a gamer since I was 5 years old. Yes,
makes
I love
too.
It. And
it's good to make money out of things that usually we spend money on, right?
It's perfect. Exactly. And I never thought I would get to do it. And suddenly it was right in front of me. And I got to translate my favorite games in huge 1,000...
I wish.
Yeah, not 1,000, 1 million word games. You know, those are challenging projects because we're talking about teams that in the companies I work for, I'm a freelance, okay. So I collaborate with all of them. But in those companies only, we had like a 10-person team. But then there were other companies after our work was done, you know, and we need to collaborate, we need to coordinate everything, we need to make sure terminology is on fleek, we need to make sure that there's a lot of, how can I say that?
They convey the message, that is appropriate to the game, to the game level, to the gamer, so that it cannot offend them.
Or, yes, and it's about experience.
True.
You know, we need to be faithful to the experience. So those are that's challenging, and I always translate with my audience in mind. I always think, hey,
about yourself.
Yeah, with myself in a way with my peers. And I always think, well, they're going to love this and they're going to have so much fun. And we need to make it easy because it is audiovisual translation.
Yes.
And especially with games, they are playing, they are in the zone, they are reading or listening at the same time. And we cannot create an obstacle.
Or break the communication. Yeah. That sense that makes the person think, hey, that's weird.
Exactly.
We don't see it this way.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one of the fields. But I do work a lot with corporate communication, human resources, marketing. Tourism is a huge one right now.
As fun, right? It's just as fun as game.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love traveling as well.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. And with interpreting, you know, it is a broader range of fields. That's really common, at least in Brazil. And in Brazil, we work both ways. We work both into English and into Portuguese. So that's also nice because in translation, I only work into Portuguese.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So you're telling me that as a translator, I mean, you're a translator, you're an interpreter, and also you do volunteer work for the association. So there is room there for a lot of challenges, I'm sure. So can you think of one specific challenge that you had to face, and how did you cope with it?
So I think first and foremost, the challenge here is to juggle all of those activities because they add to one another, but they are different, you know, in essence. So as I told you, for translation, I need to be more detail-oriented. I have more time. But then I also get the opportunity of working on my how I speak. And sometimes in the booth, I really see the presence of my written translation skills when I speak, when I do simultaneous interpretation. And routine is a little bit difficult in those cases because, you know, when you are only an interpreter, you either get an invitation for an event or you don't. But when you are a translator and interpreter, then sometimes you have a 20,000-word project to be delivered 2 weeks from now. And that's fine. You know, you can handle it. But then somebody invites you to a 5-day conference and you need to do something about it. You need to know how to deal with it. So this kind of dynamic is a little bit complicated. Now, as to specific challenges, I do remember a conference that I was interpreting in, and we were talking about sugarcane that was in Brazil,
okay.
A 3-day conference, extremely technical. So we were talking about uses, methods, strains, the biology, the chemistry. It was really, really tough. And that was not the problem because, you know, you have glossaries,
you
have your friends, you have to study, you get prepared, and that's okay. It was just tough. However, in one of the talks, in one of the roundtables, actually, one gentleman raised his hand in the audience and he started asking a question in English. But he was from countryside India and he used to cut sugarcane in countryside India. And I was at the mic at that specific moment and we had the relay system because we had both Portuguese, English, and Spanish at the conference.
Okay.
So my colleagues from the Spanish booth were counting on me. There was a huge audience listening to me because everybody had their phones on. And he started speaking English. And I can tell you, that was the most challenging accent I have ever heard. And he stopped talking, and I thought to myself, well, I did my best. It was really hard. And then the moderator was from England, so okay. He was a native English speaker. The moderator took the mic, and he said on the mic, "Thank you very much, sir, for your question and comment. And now I would like somebody to please translate what you said."
Oh, isn't that cool?
Yes. So I could really breathe and know that, you know, there was nothing that I could do. I did my best. And even an English-speaking moderator didn't understand the question. So it wasn't the best of moments because, you know, it was a little bit uncomfortable. Right when he started speaking, I thought, oh, come on, why am I not understanding him? What's wrong with me?
I speak English.
Am I distracted? Do I need coffee right now? Yeah, that's what we think, right?
Yeah.
But then I saw the look on my fellow interpreters' faces.
Okay.
And then I understood that, okay, that says a lot. They cannot believe what they are hearing as well. So right then and there, I understood that this was not about me, okay. You know?
It was actually tough.
Yeah, and that was okay. So, yeah, that was challenging, but that was also rewarding, you know?
Yeah.
And it's about teamwork. And my colleague was also helping me, of course, at least the way she could.
So now we got to the juicy news or the juicy information I want to know about.
Okay.
And that's why I invited you here. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Toronto, where I'm based, and someone... we are just having like a social, a lunch, and this person came to me and said, "I got this client and he wanted a quote about something." That's what she said. Something like simultaneous captioning. And then I said, "Well, it doesn't exist. I don't know how to do it. And have you ever heard of it?" And I was happy to say, "Yes, actually I have. I have heard about that in Brazil." And you were the one working with something like that. So can you tell me, can you explain what it is and how it works and how it worked for you?
Yes, I have interpreted in one of those events. I think what they call it is simultaneous interpreting with live captioning.
Okay.
So the way it works is we have the booth, right?
Sure.
And then the sound we produce in the booth, everything we say goes directly to the live captioner. So it doesn't go to the audience.
Okay.
And the live captioner is listening to you and typing in a special keyboard. So everything they type goes directly to the screen.
Okay. So it's like closed captions on TV.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that means that everything I say is read by the audience.
Okay.
Now,
what's the purpose of this?
Yeah. Why would anybody do that? So I was interpreting for Comic-Con in Brazil, and they were expecting around 3,000 people, I guess.
Okay.
And actually, we had way more people. I don't know the exact numbers, but...
It was a large crowd.
Yeah, it was a large crowd. And they didn't want to deal with the risk of handing everybody a receiver and a headset.
Okay.
And...
Do they have that number of headsets?
Oh, yeah, we do. Okay, no, yeah. I've interpreted for events with 4,000 people okay. with headsets and so on. But... In this kind of Comic-Con event, you know, we have long lines of people waiting to get in. If everybody had to hand their ID and get the headset and then hand the headset and get the ID back, those lines would be even huger.
Okay.
So they wanted to avoid that. They wanted to have live captioning. I'm not a huge fan of this method. But it's an option. It sure is an option. It's better than not having any kind of translation at all.
But was it a pioneer initiative in Brazil? Was Brazil the first one? Do you know about it? How did you accept, I mean, this job? Did you know what you were supposed to interpret? Maybe shorter sentences? I don't know. How did it impact the way you work and how did you get to know this?
Mm-hmm. I'd never heard of it. Okay. And nobody in my team had ever heard of it.
Okay.
So I think that was a first. And a lot of people have asked me about that since then. That was in 2014,
okay.
by the end of 2014. And we had to figure it out ourselves. So what do we need to do when our interpretation is being transformed into live captioning? We understood that, for example, so at Comic-Con, we have a lot of different names for shows, games, characters, actors, and so on. that's a challenge, because when you say that, wow, so do you like playing Daenerys Targaryen? If the live captioner doesn't know how to type that or doesn't know how to write that, this is going to be messed up on screen.
That's true. And also, and then you have fans there, and then they don't want to see their characters, characters' names messed up.
Exactly. And sometimes it's confusing, you know? And actually, you need to see this keyboard that they type in. It's like a typewriter, actually. Okay. It's not a keyboard. It's a typewriter. But it doesn't have the
letters.
The letters doesn't have the characters. It has a lot of different symbols. So they use a system that is different to ours to create new words. It's amazing. Oh, their work is outstanding. So, for example,
did you get to meet this person that was talking?
Oh, yeah. They were working right next to us.
Maybe you have a new podcast now, right?
Sure.
You can talk about it.
Yeah, there were two booths. So we were in one of them. They were in the other booth. They work for maybe 1 hour in a row by themselves. Then they take turns. Yeah. So, for example, Daenerys Targaryen, they need to input that into the typewriter and create a shortcut before the event.
Okay.
So what we did after the first day and after we started figuring it out was to send them a list of potential names that could maybe appear during the program, during the event. And they would create those shortcuts for some of them. So it was really rewarding when we saw that we said a name and it showed correctly on screen. And also, it's all about experience, right? But it's a little bit frustrating because you are interpreting. And I love the topics that they talk about at Comic-Con. I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. So I'm really into that. And sometimes I say something and I'm in the zone and I know people are going to love it. But then I remember they're not listening to me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's a pity. And sometimes, you know, in simultaneous interpretation, ideally you speak really naturally. Mm-hmm. And that is not exactly what we did sometimes. I'm going to give you an example. If I'm saying, for example, that... So you played a character called Randy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, for live captioning, I said, so you were playing a character called Randy, R-A-N-D-Y.
Okay.
And I would spell it out for the live captioner.
So that they can know.
Because I knew they were not going to get it right. And it's okay. They don't need to understand English. And, you know, these
are... Of course, that's why you were there, right?
Of course, that's why I'm there. So we would, a lot of times, just spell things out so that they could type it correctly. And it's nice to see it working. We could see the screen, so we could check if everything was correct. But another disadvantage is that there's a lot of delay.
Okay, yes.
Because, of course, the speakers...
We have delays when we are interpreting. Yes. So you add another layer to that, so you can have even a longer lag.
And actually, you add two layers... Because they are speaking, and then we interpret, and then the live captioner listens to it, types it, and it takes a while to go from the typewriter to the screen, you know, at the audiovisual settings.
So you have those people who understood what was being said in English laughing before the rest of the crowd.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Jokes are sometimes lost.
Oh, I know.
You know,
and they are tough. First of all, they are tough to translate, and then you need to find, you know, your way through that, and then you have to go to all the other layers.
Exactly. And there's no separation, because at Comic-Con, there are a lot of interviews. It's not about huge talks. It's about interviews. And so if there are two people speaking, there's no separation of who is saying what.
Oh, okay.
So we just have continuous lines on the screen, and people need to figure out who said what. So you see, it's not a perfect system.
Well, it's not. It's trying to cope with the bottleneck of the process.
Yeah, it's a good option if you cannot have so many receivers being handed out. But if you do have the opportunity of offering simultaneous interpretation, that's much better. For the second edition, actually, they allowed us, we had the opportunity of having simultaneous interpretation in a smaller room.
Okay.
Because there was the auditorium, which was huge, with the live captioning, and another smaller room with simultaneous interpretation, and that was so much better.
Why?
And the results were much better.
Why?
What do you mean?
But what's the difference between being there in the auditorium and being in a different room?
Because in the different room, they were listening to us.
Oh,
yes.
They
had the opportunity of getting headsets because it was a smaller room, so it was easy to handle. You know?
So you had both different public.
Yeah,
two kinds of public.
And we saw the difference in their reactions. Okay. You know, because it's much better. And they are fans. Some of those people spend a lot of money to come from all over Brazil to São Paulo. They waited in line for 6-7 hours to see the people they love. So I think they deserve a great experience. It's good. It's all good. Right. Yeah.
I'm happy you did that, and yeah, I'm happy that you're here with me. How do you see the future of this? I mean, how do you expect, if you have any kind of expectation, but how do you think it's going to evolve? I mean, 2-3 years, maybe in the next edition of Comic-Con.
So technology is evolving really fast, and I've heard of systems that make headsets and receivers useless. Let's put it this way. Mm-hmm. So I've heard of radio systems that could transmit the simultaneous interpretation so that people can listen to it directly from their smartphones.
Yeah, I know where you heard about that.
Yeah. And sometimes people say that's an issue because then people need good Wi-Fi networks. But, you know, we are getting better Wi-Fi.
Yes.
So maybe in the future we can have simultaneous interpretation, radio transmission, and everybody can listen to it on their smartphones.
That's
that would
true.
Be ideal. And also, I'm not against live captioning, and I think that's actually a great idea for any event, because that's about making everything accessible to people, right? There are
sure.
some people who can't listen. So if we do have live captioning, they can at least read it. So that's that's about accessibility.
Great.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you very much. Is there anything else you think, you want to share with us?
Yeah, we have been talking for about half an hour, and all I can think of is how lucky we are and how incredible this profession is.
Oh, I do love it, yeah.
Yeah, I do love it. The written part, the simultaneous part, everything that has to do with it. So I'm happy to be at the ATA conference. I'm happy to be part of it, to have the opportunity of doing what I always loved. So that's what I wanted to share with you.
And I thank you for sharing.
The same. Thank you so much for inviting me.
All right, so see you around.
Yes.
Thank
take
you.
Care. you know, we've been talking for about half an hour. You know, we've been talking for about half an hour, and I've been thinking about how lucky we are. We do something we love, and that's priceless. We've been talking about something we love, and that's priceless. So if anybody has any questions about the topics we discussed today, please feel free to contact me. I'll be happy to talk to you.
Okay, so you give me all the information you want. I can add to the blog post with the podcast edition.
Sure.
And then they can get in touch with you.
Okay, and thank you for inviting me, Erica.
Oh, thank you for being here. It's Sunday morning.
Yes.
And you're here.
Yes.
And you're flying back to Brazil soon, so it's really appreciated.
But it was my pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you. Take
care.
Thank
you. Bye.